And this time on Culture File, Warhol's women. You might just get away with calling Velvet Underground collaborator Nico one of those, but it's hardly a grouping into which Valerie Solanas, the woman who shot Andy with a gun, would slip cheerfully. Yet in the new speculative history play Femme Fatale, set in a hotel room where the two women wait to appear in an underground movie, it's Warhol that brings these women together. All the better to examine the patriarchy, 60s downtown scene edition, according to the author of the piece, Polly Wiseman. Wiseman, who also plays Nico in the darkly comic two-hander alongside Sophie Olivia as Solanas, talked to Culturefile about the many ways for women artists to draw the short straw.
Hello, Berlin. You know, every time I return to this city, I remember why I left. I liked it best when it was burning. Total destruction is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen.
I first came across Nico's music probably at drama school when I had Velvet Underground and Nico. I guess I thought she was cool. Then I did a Warhol show years ago, actually, where I was playing another Warhol woman who was hanging around the factory.
Not Edie, who is mentioned in...
Yeah. I played Edie Sedgwick, and I did briefly play Nico in that show as well. It was a show where we took on different characters. So I suppose I had sort of known about her for years. In terms of feminism, she's an interesting one because she would never have called herself a feminist, and she was quite scathing about women a lot of the time. But actually, in being a pioneer in her field, she was certainly a pioneer in music and in negotiating the male-dominated world of rock. I would say she was part of the gains feminism made, despite the fact that she would never have called herself a feminist. She wished she'd been born a man, was the... So that's not very feminist. By that, she probably meant her life would have been easier. She would have been able to do the things she wanted more easily than she actually could. She didn't really have a home as such. She never actually owned property. Oh, she did. She bought a house on Ibiza, but her mother lived there. So she really was quite a nomad. She was a sort of a proper bohemian in that she just really had a shoulder bag of clothes and a harmonium, and that was it. She travelled around. I think she stayed on people's sofas a lot until people like Paul McCartney, until they had to sort of basically kick her out. One of the tragedies of her life is she was seen as a kind of high-class groupie, which isn't really fair. I mean, she had relationships with Brian Jones and with Jim Morrison, obviously, and some other people. But sort of, I think that's in that society, that's how people tended to define her.
You say Jim Morrison, obviously, everybody had a relationship with Jim Morrison.
It's a bit like that. I think that was the problem. She called him her soul brother, but I think that the reality was that obviously he was quite happy. Not being very soul brotherly and seeing quite a lot of other women at the same time.
You know, a bomb blast takes time to be felt. First comes the flesh, then the shock waves, and only then do the buildings fall.
We're in a hotel room in New York City in somewhere in the late 60s, and Nico is waiting there for Jim Morrison, but she's not waiting alone.
She and Valerie Solanas are both waiting to film Warhol's movie I, a Man, which they were both in. So there is a legitimate reason why Valerie is, so she can't actually kick her out.
Although you did pretty much, you imagined that must have happened.
I know they will have hung out in the same space at some point in that period.
So who was Valerie Solanas?
Valerie Solanas was, I suppose, an influential second-wave feminist now, looking back. She came from a sort of dirt-poor background. She had two children by the time she was 15, both of which she gave up for adoption. She was also an out lesbian in the late 50s, which was didn't make her any friends. And when she graduated as a psychologist, nobody would employ her because she was female, and it was the early 60s in America. So this made her understandably quite bitter towards the patriarchy and the system of men getting all the best gigs. So Valerie eventually she wrote something called The Scum Manifesto, which was her Society for Cutting Up Men, which posited the solution to the world's problems was to kill all the men. And she wrote a play called Up Your Ass, which she wanted Andy Warhol to produce, and she gave him her script, and he just basically didn't get back to her about it, and she came to believe that he'd stolen it and used some of the lines for his films.
And from what we know of Warhol, that's not an improbable notion.
From what we know of Warhol, Valerie Solanas wasn't the only person that he stole. Potentially, allegedly, I think I have to say allegedly, stole...
He's well dead.
Yeah, you can't slander the dead, that's true. So Andy Warhol potentially borrowed, shall we say, the work of not just Valerie Solanas, but there was a Japanese artist that we were discussing, Yoi Kusama, who potentially had the first idea for the repeated Marilyn Monroe pictures, which Warhol subsequently made a big success with. So the idea that Warhol would steal from the work of women seems fairly true.
Now that it's time, now that the hour has landed at the end, now that it's real.
Those two women, I suppose, are quite useful as ways of exploring society in that they were so different. Valerie absolutely rejected all the conventional tropes of being a woman and gave up her kids for adoption, didn't wear makeup, dressed like a man, was very overt and in demanding what she wanted. Whereas Nico sort of exemplified the 60s blonde Dolly Bird who all the men liked and wanted to sleep with. It could appear that she was this sort of uber groupie who'd slept away to the top, which is unfair. You could say that she was following the very conventional route for a woman in the eyes of that society. So it was interesting to see what happens if a woman embraces all those rules but is miserable about it. And what happens if a woman rejects all those rules but can't get her foot in the door, can't get her work noticed. So what are the boundaries of that society and what can we do to change them?
That I be leaving in the fairest of the seasons.
I found it interesting writing the show and trying to think about if Valerie and Nico were working alive and working today, whether they'd have an easier time of it. And I think in some ways they would. The internet, for instance, would mean that Valerie could get her message out without needing an intermediary. But I think she'd be horribly trolled by many people online. And Nico, I think, would superficially, people would still be saying, you looked better when you were this blonde bombshell. Why have you dyed your hair black and why are you singing these moody goth songs and looking a bit like you've gone to seed?
In the tour that's going to happen, you're also trying to kind of rewrite the Scum Manifesto, or enlarge at least.
Yes, we're really hoping to create a feminist manifesto for now, and we'd love our audiences and people beyond our audience to contribute.
And if there's no change, what do you think about the idea of getting a gun?
I have thought about, if I had a gun, who would I take out first? And I suppose writing a play about a woman who did just that, it does make you think, well, would I? Could I do that? Would it be worth it? Oh, dear, that makes me sound very...
Well, luckily enough, Warhol's gone, so you don't have to do him.
Yes, I suppose someone already took care of Andy Warhol, but there's a few of them out there, aren't there?
Polly Wiseman on her latest show, Femme Fatale, which is at Brighton tonight and tomorrow, before moving to London's Omnibus Theatre from October 8th.